And I'm married to my wife, Virginia. Next month, we'll be married for 49 years. I have three children, two girls and a boy. They're all three involved in ministry in the States. And as a matter of fact, they're all in Oklahoma, which is where I'm from. Anybody here from Oklahoma? All right. Some people from Montana. My dad lived in Deer Lodge, Montana. You know where that is? Yeah. And I was born in Kansas. Anyone here from Kansas? All right. Concordia, Kansas. You know where that is? All right. Great. I live 90 miles north of Dallas. And so we're very close. How many here from Texas? All right. Yeah, a lot here from Texas. And I have 9 grandchildren. Let me go back to my children. And I can honestly say this, and this is the truth. I'm not just being humble. All three of my children are better Christians than I am. And I mean that honestly. Two of my children have seminary degrees and met their spouses at seminary, Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And my son was a missionary for 12 years. He was a missionary in Pakistan until one of our missionaries there, a woman, was kidnapped, tortured, and killed, and then all of our missionaries were pulled out of Pakistan. He went to India, then he went to Thailand, and now he's back in the States. He has 3 boys, and he had 1 daughter that's in heaven that died in Thailand while he was on the mission field. And as I'm getting older, that's one more attraction I have about heaven. I'm anxious to go see our granddaughter, Daisy, in heaven. And he's a pastor now in Oklahoma. I have a daughter. My youngest daughter is on church staff at a very large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They have about 5,000 on Sunday morning. They have all kinds of ministries, and she's in charge of the benevolent ministry there. She's been in charge of the children. She's been in charge of helping them start new churches in Tulsa. And now she's in charge of the benevolent ministry and at the church at Battle Creek, which is the 17th fastest growing church in the United States. So she's very fortunate. My other daughter says she's a pagan because she's the only one of my children that didn't finish seminary. But her husband is a deacon in their church, and she's very active in women's ministry there. And so I've been blessed. I have 3 wonderful Christian children. They're not to my credit. It's just, as you know, it's a blessing of the Lord, because I've known some very fine Christians whose children did not follow the path of the Lord, and I've been very blessed that mine have. And I travel a lot. I've been in over 30 countries, most of the time speaking or teaching. And the Bible studies that I write, we have over 40 different denominations that use them, so I'm right at home in an international church. Because we have AGs and Presbyterians and Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists, maybe a few, but not a lot. If you're Seventh-day Adventist, you're probably not here today. You might have been here yesterday. So it's been my privilege. And you can see pictures of my grandchildren at journeyseries.com. 9 grandchildren. One of them has already surrendered to ministry. One of my grandsons. So I'm so thankful for that. And that's enough about me. Today I want to talk to you about problems. And the title of my message is, Why God Allows Us to Have Problems. Everybody has problems. The only place that people don't have problems is in the cemetery. And so if you're not there yet, you have problems. Someone has said everyone has a problem, is a problem, or lives with a problem. If you live with a problem, don't look at them right now. But we all have problems. Our problems vary in type and severity. Sometimes they are financial problems. Sometimes they are addiction problems. And I was glad to hear your ministry to people who may have addictions or other problems related to that. Some people have problems with guilt. You know, when I was a pastor for 47 years, and more than once, I would have a church member come into my office and say, "Do you really think God can forgive me of all the really bad things I've done?" And, I said, "Have you ever killed anybody or had someone killed? Or use some other examples. Have you ever killed any Christians like Paul did as he voted to have them stoned?" I say, "No." And you know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all, how much? All unrighteousness. God's grace is greater than any sin or any amount of sin. And I'm so thankful for that because we had people in our church that had lived some lives very far from God's will for them. So there's problems with guilt, depression. I had problems with depression for years. And I had to go to a psychiatrist because I suffered for depression for a long time. I had a very difficult upbringing. My mother and father divorced when I was 2 years old. I never met my father till I was 35 years old. And I had a very difficult childhood for various reasons. And I didn't realize that was the reason for my depression. And so I went to a Christian psychiatrist in Dallas, Texas. $100 for every 15 minutes. So I would try to get through in 15 minutes. And usually did. But he helped me greatly. And I've had people say, "Well, I've suffered from depression, but I'm ashamed to go to someone like a psychiatrist." Don't be. You know, that can be a chemical imbalance. It can be any number of problems. A lot of Christians are depressed. Some of the greatest preachers in history suffered from deep depression, like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London and during his time and still today is one of the most famous preachers to ever live. So if you have a problem with it, don't be afraid to seek medical help. It's nothing to be ashamed of. There are other kinds of problems, all kinds of problems. And you know, sometimes Christians have more problems than non-Christians because the evil one attacks us and tries to prevent us from fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Jesus warned us that as Christians we're going to have problems. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "In this world you will have" what? Tribulation. He didn't say "may have," did He? He said, in the world you will have tribulation. And the word translated tribulation in the original language is a very strong word. It means serious affliction, big time problems. We all will. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes about all kinds of problems. He writes about trouble, hardships, persecution, famine, danger, and nakedness, severe poverty, in other words, and death. Then he writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "In all these things we are more than" what? Conquerors. "Through Him who loved us." Now the question we ought to ask is, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? A conqueror simply defeats the enemy. But someone who's more than a conqueror makes his enemy their friend. And so what that verse is telling us is God can make our enemies, our problems, severe problems, our friends. How does He do that? Well, that's why I want to talk to you about this question and answer this question. Why does God allow us to have problems? He can make them our friends. But how? Why does God allow us to have problems? You know, as a pastor, I did a lot of reading. And you know, we had several people, 100 people at our church on Sunday morning. And from reading, I learned that 20% of people who come to my church every Sunday have some kind of problems. And about 10% have serious problems. Some people would come to my church in the week before they learned they had cancer. Or some people would come to my church in the week before at home they talked about getting a divorce. So there are all kinds of problems. But how does God use our problems? He uses them for four ways. He uses them to direct us, inspect us, correct us, and perfect us. First, He uses problems to direct us. Oxford scholar C.S. Lewis wrote, "God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain." God uses problems to get us back on track. to keep us on course. Look how this truth is expressed in Psalm 119, verse 67. There it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." And the writer there is saying, God used affliction. God used problems to get me back on track spiritually, to direct me. God often uses problems to direct us, to keep us on track spiritually. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about God allowing him to have a thorn in the flesh. And he said he was allowed to have it to keep him from becoming conceited because of his great revelations. Now, Paul doesn't say what the problem was, but whatever it was chronic and severe. Paul prays three times for God to take the thorn away. Did God take the thorn away? Did God take the thorn away? No. Oftentimes we have problems. God will not take away. But look what he says to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, "My what is sufficient for you? Grace." And you know, there's at least five different kinds of grace in the Bible. There's saving grace, there's equipping grace. But here it's sustaining grace. And what Paul is saying, I'm not going to take the problem away, but I'll give you the sustaining grace to live with it. And then he says, "For my power is made perfect in weakness." God tells Paul, I'm going to let you keep the thorn. Because this thorn in the flesh, we don't know what it was. Some scholars believe Paul was almost blind. Others believe he suffered from malaria and had oftentimes suffered from high fever, weakness, and severe headaches. We don't know what it was. But whatever his thorn in the flesh was, God was using it to direct him away from arrogance and pride, because God knew that on Paul's three missionary journeys and writing 13 books in our New Testament, he would do more to share the gospel and spread the gospel than all the other apostles put together. As a matter of fact, there's no one who spread the gospel more than the great apostle Paul. I'm reading you some of his writings today. And no one has come to Christ through any one book in the New Testament more so than the book of Romans, like Martin Luther and some of the other great reformers. So even today, Paul is still bringing people to Christ. And God said, you're going to keep the thorn, because that will cause you to depend on me and will keep you from becoming conceited and arrogant. Sometimes God uses problems to direct us away from someone who might lead us into sin. Sometimes God uses problems to direct us away from a bad decision. Therefore, on a regular basis, we should all pray the prayer in Psalm 119, verse 35. And there the Bible says, and this is a wonderful prayer, "Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it." That's a wonderful prayer maybe to begin every day with. God, help me to live this day and just obey your word. So God allows us to have problems to direct us, and second, to inspect us. Someone has said Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until they get into some hot water. And problems really reveal what kind of Christians we are. I discovered after 47 years of being a pastor, I'm a terrible judge of people. I'll tell you something else, so are you. It's a good thing that God is our judge, and we're not. I'm a terrible judge of people. And my last pastorate, I was there for 34 years, same church, 34 years. And there would be people that I thought were really strong Christians, and some adversity would come their way, and they'd just fall apart. And then there were others who I thought maybe their faith is not too strong, and they'd have a similar adversity, and I mean, they would just shine all the way through, demonstrating a great faith. So you don't know what kind of faith you have or anyone else until you see them go through some kind of serious problems, some kind of serious adversity. Problems are really just a test. God knows what kind of people we are because He's omniscient. He knows everything. He even knows the number of hair on my head. And I tell you, it used to be a little harder to keep up with than today. It's much thinner than it was when I first started preaching almost 50 years ago. But problems are really a test for us to reveal to us what kind of Christians we are and how strong our faith really is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us that in life we're going to suffer all kinds of trials or problems, he says, which are greater value than gold. Did you get that? He said our trials, our problems are greater value than gold. And the word that's translating trials in the original language literally means a putting to the test, because that many times is what our problems are. Then he tells us the purpose of our problems in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, where he says that we may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation or at the coming of Jesus Christ. So Peter compares our problems to the refining of gold. And in Peter's day, to refine gold, it would be heated and melted. And as it was melted, all the impurities would come to the top. And if it was really hot, all the impurities would go to the center of that melted gold. And then you could just skim off the impurity. And then all that was left was pure gold. Problems are like that. Problems cause our imperfections, and sins come to the surface. The heat of problems causes our defects to show up. And the reason is, God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is what? Deceitful. It's deceitful about ourselves. You know, there was a time in my life where I thought, man, I have really grown as a Christian. I've got a strong faith now. My deceitful heart was causing me to say that. And then God let some adversity come my way, and I found out I didn't have nearly as much faith as I thought. Because our hearts are deceitful. They deceive us into thinking we're better people than we are. We can easily see sin and fault in other people. But it's very difficult to see our own. We all have our own personal blind spots. Because our hearts are deceitful, and we may not recognize the impurities when they surface through the heat of adversity, we need to often pray Psalm 139, verse 24. We should pray this, "See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God is our spiritual goldsmith, who through all kinds of problems causes our imperfections and our sins to surface. And sometimes we need His help to see them so that we can pray, and He is that divine goldsmith. When we confess them, we'll skim them out of our lives. God allows us to have problems to direct us, inspect us, and third, to correct us. Sometimes we're all like Jonah and we get off course. You remember the story of Jonah? You know, he's the original foreign missionary, and he's a terrible one. When my son was in seminary, he was going through the mission courses, and he said they studied in one of his mission courses, they studied the book of Jonah to see how not to be a foreign missionary, because he's bad. I have a nephew named Jonah. I wouldn't have chose that name. But you remember, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to that city, Nineveh, and cry against it, for its sin has come up before me." Now, Nineveh is to the east. I don't know what direction is east here. Is that east? That east? That east? You don't know either? It's that way. So God said, "I want you to go to Nineveh, which is east." And so when God says that, Jonah decides, "I'll just take a Mediterranean tour or a cruise." So he goes down to Joppa. He gets on a ship, which is west, the exact opposite direction of what God told him to do and where He told him to go. And during his Mediterranean cruise, you remember what God does? He sends a violent storm. And the storm is so severe, the mariners think the ship is about to break up, and they start throwing the cargo, the valuable cargo, off the ship to lighten the load so that it will not sink. And during that time, things even get to looking worse concerning Jonah. The worst part of Jonah's sinful condition is found in Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. And there we read, during the severe storm, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part to the hold of the ship and had laid down and what? Was fast asleep. Jonah's deep sleep is an illustration of what happens when we get out of God's will. We become unaware of spiritual danger. We become oblivious to temptation and do foolish things because we're spiritually asleep. When we as Christians get off course and are content to stay there, if you're a Christian and you're out of God's will, let me warn you, God loves you, and in love, He will send a storm to get you back on course. During 47 years of ministry, I saw that happen many times to Christians who got out of God's will. But as long as if you're out of God's will and that bothers you at night and it keeps you awake, that's good. Because that means you sense God's conviction and you'll probably confess that sin and get back on track spiritually. But if not, if you're a child of God and love, God will send a storm to correct your course. God allows us to have problems to direct us, inspect us, correct us, and fourth, to perfect us, which means to mature us. James writes, "Count it all joy when we have trials or problems of various kinds, because problems produce patience." Then look what he writes in James chapter 1, verse 4. "And let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect," which means mature and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, God doesn't want us to be a bunch of spoiled brats. And without problems, we'd be a bunch of spoiled brats. If everything always went our way, we'd just be a bunch of spiritual, spoiled brats. God doesn't want us to be like that. So He lets us have problems so that we'll be lacking in nothing. And that phrase "lacking in nothing" means lacking in nothing to be used of God. God uses problems to perfect us, to mature us, so He can use us to accomplish His purpose for our lives. God uses our problems, past, present, and future, to shape us and mature us so we can effectively serve Him. God allows us to have problems for four reasons: to direct us, to inspect us, to correct us, and to perfect us. And so problems can be our friends if we respond like God would have us to. Remember, in all these things we're more than conquerors, because God can make our problems our friends. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, thank You for the privilege of sharing Your Word with these wonderful people today. And Father, thank You for this church. And thank You for the unity that's here among many different faiths, people from many different countries. But Father, in Christ, we're all brothers and sisters in our Lord. And we thank You for that. And Father, I pray that the words that I've shared here today will benefit people who are going through problems right now, and will benefit people who will be going through problems in the future. And Father, thank You that in all of our problems we're more than conquerors, because You can make our problems our friends. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share God's Word with you today. You are dismissed. I feel like a pastor again. Thank you.